This is Jerry the King Lawler, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast. I don't know why you're listening, but you are.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
Oh my God!
We are taking over.
Drink it in, man. Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
They think they got the answers. I changed the questions.
When we talk about the legends of the sport, there's only two in my book.
AWP, another wrestling podcast.
Bada boom, realest guys in the world. How you doing?
Yeah, so Mike's down in Florida. He was at the NXT tapings the other day.
Cologne?
Yeah. He texts me, and he's outside of the performance center. He's not even on the property. And who pulls up?
Who's that?
But Michael Cole. And he gets out of his car. And I guess he says, looks right at Cologne and says, no pictures, no autographs.
What?
Wasn't even looking at him. Like, seriously, that would be like me getting out of the car and being like, yeah, no pictures, no autographs. Who wants a goddamn autograph or a picture with Michael Cole?
And to even deny it, like you're denying that somebody wants or maybe might have any interest? All right. Welcome to another wrestling podcast. This is episode 145. I'm Credo.
And of course, I'm Angry Cooter.
Each and every week we're here to show you that we're more than just the podcast.
We're the whole show.
That's right. I censored you on that one this week. Do you know why?
Why?
Because
that?
We're going to talk about role models, Cooter. We got to set an example for the future.
Right? Yeah, I'm more like Charles Barkley. I am not a role model. Okay, not.
Well, we got Mr. Bob Backlund joining us also today. One of the second longest reigning WWE champion in history. Mr. Bob Backlund, he'll be joining us in a little bit. Who also has a little bit of respect into the role model that he was and is for kids of today and tomorrow. Cooter, what do you think about Bob Backlund joining us?
I've always respected Bob. I loved his work ethic. Even when his career was winding down, the guy was always in incredible shape. The guy has shoulders like cannonballs, dude. Like, he's a monster. He's a big guy. He's all about his training, and that's just right up my alley.
Oof, yeah, he's got also a bookie that's out. He's going to be talking to us about, man. He gave me the cross-face chicken wing down at Collector's Realm, and I'll tell you, man, he's like, you see, it doesn't hurt like this, but when you lock your arm like this, oh,
yes.
My God, dude. I was like, oh, I tapped out. He's a great guy, though, but, I mean, he
can
definitely
intense.
Kill you.
Very
he can
intense,
kill you.
Definitely.
Oh, but Cooter, man, it's been a long week, man. It's a long week, so we might as well just get right into the week that was, shall we? So we're coming off the Royal Rumble 2017. What were your initial thoughts of it? Because the internet, the IWC out there, Cooter, hated it. They were upset. They were promised things. They thought they were promised things. They're heartbroken. How did you feel?
I thought it was a great show from top to bottom.
Were you not sports entertained?
I was entertained. Listen, I mean, Bayley and Charlotte had a great match. We had a hell of a rumble, and the AJ Styles John Cena match was one for the ages. Not on par with the SummerSlam match. I mean, they did a lot of the same sequences, so to speak, but they did switch it up a little bit, and I really enjoyed that show from top to bottom.
Yeah,
I know how the fans out there, you know.
Well,
go ahead.
No, we're in trouble today because that's the social media, man. I was one of those fans that were kind of upset because, you know, it's one of those things you hear it and dirt sheets will get you, man. That's why I say take it with a grain of salt, and it's like. You know, you get your hopes up to where it's just a rumble. You want to see a surprise. And honestly, man, there was only one surprise, and I think that was Ty Dillinger at number 10, which was great. But other than that, I mean, there was Mark Henry wasn't a surprise. Big Show wasn't a surprise.
Listen, were you not surprised when your boy James Ellsworth came down to the ring? How amazing was that?
Dude, he got thrown out of that ring like that was it, man. I thought that they just killed off James Ellsworth there. He didn't let him like throw him to land on the feet, man. That was a hard bump for that guy. Oof,
he took that like a champ, dude. I got a lot of respect for that man. I gotta be honest. But here's something I want to mention about the internet wrestling community. There is this new breed of IWC where they claim to be anti-IWC. We hate the wrestling internet fans. So basically, they troll the trolls, but claim they're not trolls. It makes absolutely no sense. So in a sense, they really are the IWC, but they're like 00 secret agents of the IWC.
Wow, I'm just thinking merch over here. I wonder if we could buy troll dolls and just put like IWC on it and sell them at shows. That'd be a hit, man.
Fantastic, dude. Absolutely.
No, man. So I lay in that boat, though, to where, you know, I was hyped for the Rumble. I was really expecting like Samoa Joe or Finn Balor. And I know he was injured and I know they used Samoa Joe. We'll talk about him a little bit later, but I was just really hoping for something else. And man, even Goldberg, Brock had a good spot in there. Goldberg eliminates Brock. Undertaker eliminates Goldberg. And then number 30, the man himself, Roman Reigns.
I gotta say, I really loved all those like reaction videos. I actually have one. I never showed it to you. It was so funny because I'm thinking, oh man, here comes Samoa Joe. That was the one thing that I was hoping for, and I was a little annoyed by it just because I'm like, all right, we got James Ellsworth, you know, in the Rumble. We got a couple of scrubs thrown in there.
Yep.
Like, we got Mojo Rawley in there. Why?
I know.
So I like, was I perturbed? Yeah. I mean, I really didn't bitch and moan like some of these people, but they did it right. Like they did what they had to do to get that pop for Orton to win it.
Well, you know, I'll tell you where I'm at, too, because I think they're honestly prepared somebody who's going to get hated. At least if you gave them somebody they didn't want, they're going to get hated no matter what. Maybe they're just kind of going with it to where it's like, well, we know they're going to boo him regardless, so put him in there. But also, who else is going to take the heat for throwing the Undertaker out of the ring? So that's another time to where someone's going to get a lot of heat. So I guess they're just sticking with the heat magnet himself, Roman Reigns. He lost his championship match against Kevin Owens, which was surprising. I thought he was going to hold it. I thought he was going to win it, but he lost it and was number 30. So damned if you do, damned if you don't. Number 30 gets the heat. The guy who throws that Taker gets the heat. I don't know what they're doing, Cooter, with him, but
I think they're finally going. they're going with it, and they really don't have a choice. It's exactly what you just said. He has so much heat on him, and the fans just don't like him. So they're going to use the reaction that they know that the crowd is going to give them for him in the right situations. And this really was the right situation. I mean, a lot of people bought it hook, line, and sinker because they're all worried and scared to death that Roman Reigns was going to win the Rumble. Now, when I saw him, there was no way in hell I thought he was winning, honestly.
No.
But the thing I liked about the Rumble in general was they told a bunch of stories in that Rumble that are setting up for the matches. So usually the Rumble just really sets up the main event for WrestleMania. But we see other stories that have formed because of the Rumble. I mean, we're getting, you know, the Brock Goldberg match now probably at Mania. It looks like they're either going to try to set up for Taker versus Roman, but that's a little weird to me only because you had Braun Strowman cost Roman the belt.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm still not sure what we're doing. And then, you know, it's
sure. The pieces are falling. They're falling right where they're gonna. They have a bunch of options out there now. So if case one doesn't stick, they kind of have something else in the works. So it was good for that reason. But how about Orton winning it, man? I definitely didn't see this, and it's pretty much been like Evolution winning for the past few years. We had Batista, we had Triple H, we got Orton. It's Evolution comeback. I think if Ric Flair was still wrestling, I think he'd throw his name in for next year so he could win too.
There you go. He could be 17-time world champion and win it at WrestleMania. There you go.
Well, you just said that. We'll get to that really quick. Orton, man, was that a surprise or did you – I don't know. Is it
that
right?
was a
good
surprise, and it was a surprise that I wasn't annoyed with. You know, if
it's like somebody, it's like I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. You know, it was like
exactly, and there's a lot of things that seem to be in motion. I want to see where it goes. I don't want to be the guy who judges something based on the beginning, and that's the problem that these fans have nowadays. If they don't like something right from the beginning, but they're not waiting to see where it's going to go. I want to give it a chance. Really do.
In the words of our good friend Vic Delicious, it's the instant gratification generation. they need it. They need it now. They need it right now, every day. But really quick, too, Cena hits old ties with Ric Flair as a 16-time champion. What are your thoughts on this?
Oh, boy. See, now here's the thing. Now I'm going to bitch. No, I'm just kidding. I would have liked to see AJ win this. I really would have.
You know, if this sets up AJ to win at WrestleMania for whoever he fights, I hope so. But, I mean, he's put – you know, I guess, you know, Cena's put him over big. He put him over at another big show. You know, it's even, but still, I don't know what's going to happen at what their next thing is going
to
go to.
Listen, the road to WrestleMania is a marathon, okay? Yeah, it's not a sprint, all right? A marathon is 26 miles, I believe. You can't piss and moan after the first 2 miles.
There you go.
So that's why, like I said, I really want to give it a chance and see where this goes. Because AJ Styles is guaranteed a rematch, a one-on-one, outside of the Elimination Chamber.
Ooh, WrestleMania? I hope that's a WrestleMania build right there.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean,
I know.
Orton already has that title.
Oh, gee, yeah, I'm not even thinking about that. And you know what's funny? They didn't even say, hey, Orton, you're fighting for – have they? I'm pretty sure they haven't. They haven't said, hey, you're fighting AJ – you're fighting John Cena, right? I mean, I know he's fighting him on SmackDown, but he's not – they haven't said – I mean, anything could happen, right? They really haven't said that he's fighting Cena for the championship. I mean, they could go to the Universal if they wanted, maybe, but –
That's how they used to do it. I mean, I remember the storyline years ago when Batista won and Evolution was trying to push him to go to SmackDown so they could basically, you know, Evolution could hold both belts.
Yeah.
But it was more because, you know, but you had the choice back then. And now it seems where you have to chase the title for your respective brand. So, yeah. I mean, again, you know, things can change. You know, people get hurt. Cards need to be reshuffled. Maybe we'll see some interpromotional matches. You never know.
Sure. And you know what's another thing that came up too on SmackDown? They kept bringing up about how little matches they had on the actual card. I mean, granted, Randy Orton won. He's on SmackDown. Then they had John Cena and the AJ Styles match was great. And then the only other match for SmackDown was the women's on the pre-show. So they didn't have like anything else going on. The tag team, they even brought it up too, that the tag team champions didn't have a match on the show. Like a lot of those guys just didn't have a match on the Rumble. And I honestly thought that the Rumble was basically for both brands. Like I thought they would have more matches and I don't know. Did it bother you that there was less SmackDown on this or no?
I really like American Alpha. How many of the good teams can we put up against American Alpha prior to WrestleMania? You want to save the two good teams for that big matchup, I would think, for your biggest show of the year.
No, yeah, and they're having a big tag team turmoil match on SmackDown next week. They announced on Talking Smack, and it's sad though because I thought Royal Rumble, Mania, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series were going to be these, you know, colossus size shows with both brands, and it's almost like the beginning of the year. It's I don't know, it wasn't well balanced, I don't think, and still I feel like they leave all these people off the show, but then that doesn't mean we have to have, like, huge teams of, like, girls fighting each other. Like, we can still do just people for the belt or just regular exhibition matches. Like, I hate it when they have to have, like, 5-on-5.
Yeah. Here's a dumb question for you. I mean, because I, for the life of me, would like to know how many SmackDown entrants there were in the Rumble and how many Raw were. Because
SmackDown had 11 people in the Rumble, they said.
Really?
11 people.
Well, they do have the smaller roster.
Yep.
Because you got to remember, Raw got two picks for every one of SmackDown.
Yeah. It's just curious. I wonder if this is, you know, the kind of, it almost seems like they're setting up to where it's going to be, obviously, one more time, SmackDown versus Raw at Mania, where they're going to, I'm sure, have a team of, you know, the guys are not really using in the matches, like a team, you know, a team show versus show kind of thing. So I don't know. It was a major point this week that SmackDown had little to do in the Rumble. But I was just surprised pretty much. I figured, man, I thought it was going to be more evenly balanced, and I don't know. I guess the pre-show still counts, but it's, you know, it's, you're still watching in the same place. It's not like you have to go buy the pay-per-view.
The only problem you got to look at, the problem for them was a lot of the big name guys on SmackDown were in the Rumble. Mm-hmm. So you had your Dolph Ziggler, you had your Miz, you had your Dean Ambrose, but they were all in the Rumble. So I mean, the Undertaker, that's pretty much a SmackDown guy. He's in the Rumble.
Yeah.
Could they have thrown a tag match on the card for the pre-show? Of course. But again, I think they're going to go Mania for that. I think it's going to be American Alpha and the Usos. I think those two teams can have a really good match. They've seemed to have some good chemistry in the past. So, I mean, God. Can we have these guys in two matches? I mean, too many of them. I mean, Cesaro and Sheamus were in the Rumble.
Yep.
And they had already lost the tag belts.
Yeah.
And I think
they could get them to another spot of somebody who wasn't even on the show, you know?
Exactly. So who the hell knows? What did you think of the NXT card, though, from the night prior? Because we've all often said that the NXT major shows, like the pay-per-view caliber shows, have always been better than the main roster shows. What did you think comparatively? Did you think that NXT pulled off another win over this, or was the Rumble the better show?
I think the Rumble was the better show this year compared to last year. I'll tell you what, some of the reasons, because, and I'm not saying this roster sucks or anything. I mean, everybody's talented. It's a great roster, but I think last year we had the bigger roster, the bigger matchups, I think. This year, I mean, aside from the Rude and Nakamura match, every other match, I mean, I was like, you know, the Destruction, the Brothers of Destruction, winning
Tolka and Rezar, yeah. Secret of
Boots. You know, winning the titles. I understand it. They're building them as these monster heels. You know, I thought maybe they let them work for it a little bit, because they did kind of give them the Dusty Tag Team Tournament title. I mean, it was good. I don't know. I think if you're going to ask me to compare it, I'm going to say last year's was better. But the main event for it with Rude and Nakamura, you know, I almost thought it ended like Samoa Joe's, to where he got injured and then they had to call somebody.
Yes.
And I was like, what are they doing? But it was done differently. It was a little bit more unique, the way they ended it. I mean, I think I've seen what they're doing so good down in NXT is that I've seen them do all these different kind of finishes on all their pay-per-views, to where you have one where this one guy got injured and, you know, that was it. Then it was, this one was like a different injury. This way ended perfectly, you know, clean finish. I mean, they've had, my whole point is that every time I watch an NXT main event match, it's something like I've never seen. It wasn't like the previous main event match. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where it's definitely, I love what they're doing down there, though. With the main event, I thought it was great. I'm surprised, though, too, man. I'm surprised that they gave it to Rude, but everybody's like, oh, Nakamura's on his way up. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. I think they're going to keep him down there to feud with Rude for a little bit more. But I don't know. Maybe I'll be wrong, though. Do you think he'll move up, or what do you think?
Well, I think he's ready to move up. I think he needs to move up. I mean, he's not exactly a spring chicken anymore either. I mean, a lot of the guys that were so happy to have finally made it to WWE are in their late 30s.
He's 37, so, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So I mean, let's we're paying him all this serious main roster money. We might as well advantage of it at this point. He's, you know, he's gonna be a year at WrestleMania that he's been down in NXT. I mean, granted, I mean, Samoa Joe was there for 2 years. And,
I think he was a special case about that, though. But I don't think, but I
do want to make mention the match that stole the show for me was the women's match.
Yeah, man, I'll agree with you. Yeah.
They told a great story in the ring, and let me tell you something. That Nikki Cross is a crazy bitch, and I'm falling in love with her. God damn.
The angry one falls in love with the crazy one.
Oh, my God. She was awesome. Her and Asuka had great chemistry.
Yeah, man. They're definitely it's so nice to see the variety of characters these days, because it's not like every diva is supposed to look like this diva. Like, you're actually having women that are totally different, and, you know, it's working. Keep doing that. But, you know, it was a great night for both shows. I just think this year maybe Rumble might have had the upper hand, even though a lot of people online didn't think so. I don't know.
Of course, because, you know, they want to be anti-establishment. We are the IWC!
But, Cooterman, the road to WrestleMania has begun. The Rumble's over. A lot of things are in motion. We're not clear on a lot of the things that are happening. But, unfortunately, one thing we do know is Seth Rollins is injured. He has a torn MCL. The diagnosis or the problem, whatever you want to call it, is usually a 3 to 4 month rehabilitation kind of thing. So, technically, people are like, oh, that's 8 weeks or here and there. And they're like, well, 8 weeks puts you at like almost the week before Mania. And still,
yeah, really.
It's so like, you know, they're not going to just bring him back because I don't know. I think he has to definitely be looked at a lot more than he was last time now, especially with this second injury 1 year later. It's such a shame.
Yeah. Who do you feel worse for? Samoa Joe or Seth Rollins in this case?
Well, with Samoa Joe ending Tyson Kidd's career and now possibly Seth Rollins' career, I don't know.
No. That's not what I mean by that. Do you feel worse that Seth Rollins is going to miss his second WrestleMania in a row? Or the fact that Samoa Joe, probably the surprise of the week, because I don't think anybody was expecting him to come out on Raw. For that. I mean, you've really finally thought you were getting Triple H and Seth Rollins, and they were going toe-to-toe, and next thing you know, we're going to get a match, you know, for Mania or whatever it is. And when he came down, it was like, wow, you just threw Samoa Joe in probably the most important storyline on Raw right now, and he injures Seth Rollins.
Wait, I just want to play this one song because this was Samoa Joe's theme for this is he's got his tight pants on. This is what I'm playing right now.
Everybody's talking about my tight pants. I got my tight pants. I got my tight pants on. Everybody's looking at my tight pants. I got my tight pants. I got my tight pants on.
You're such a dick, Credo. I mean, really. Come on, man.
I'm sorry. I noticed. I don't know. I happen to notice everybody what they're wearing when they're doing it. And I have these tight pants on. He's got the tight jeans. I mean, I thought he would have stuck with a more traditional Samoa Joe attire. But no, I understand he's coming from the back or whatever. But
Right. You got to wear your skinny jeans and your blouse. You know, you got to keep your game going, bro.
But how about this, man? Okay, so we don't know anything official yet. I'm sure they're not going to tell us like tomorrow or if they do, whatever. Seth Rollins, technically, even though it's not official yet, he's technically probably not going to make Mania. So, Cooter, what do? You have all these gears in motion for a Triple H Seth Rollins match. How do you fix this, and how do you fix this quick? Because we need to get Triple H another Mania match.
Yeah, well, not only that, what do we do with Samoa Joe now? I don't give a shit about Triple H.
Well, you know, I have a few scenarios. Hear me out. Tell me if they're good or bad. Okay, I'm on the booking team. This happens. What do I do? Okay, so let's look at the logistics here. We have Samoa Joe attacking Seth Rollins. He's technically now the new henchman of Triple H. I got it. Triple H tells Kevin Owens his time is you know, marked or whatever, and we have Samoa Joe versus Kevin Owens for the Universal Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania. That's one option. Option number two, they go on Raw. They're bragging how they took out Seth Rollins, how nobody can stop him now, yada, yada, yada. Finn Balor returns. We have a little confrontation with Samoa Joe and Finn Balor at Fastlane, and then we have Finn Balor versus Triple H WrestleMania. But then again, you're like, well, it's Samoa Joe's debut. Are you going to have him lose his first pay-per-view? Maybe. I mean, he had Roman Reigns lose on Raw at Finn Balor's first night, so why not?
I would actually be afraid of Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens because when Joe started in NXT, Owens was the champ. And on his debut, you know, they got into a little bit of a beef, and then they had this terrible match. It was the drizzling shits, as Ole Anderson likes to say. And all of a sudden, Owens was gone. So they never – I think there was a DQ or, like, it was a double countout or some shit. And they were just, like, fight. I don't remember exactly what happened, but there was pretty much no clear winner, and the match sucked anyway. And on top of it, I mean, there was just no ending to it because it just kind of disappeared.
So you're afraid, you're saying if they put them together that it's going to probably be like...
Some guys, I mean, you could put two of the best wrestlers in the world together, but if they don't have good chemistry, the match is going to suck. But then again, I mean, were they really having a match or were they just brawling in the ring to see if... I don't know. I just didn't like what I saw the first time, so it scares me.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you never know. I mean, these two could probably... The two fatties at WrestleMania. How about that, Greedo?
Well, you know, it's
two
interesting.
Two fatties battling for the Universal title at WrestleMania.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I mean, like I said, these are just things that came up out of my head. You know, it's like this is just a guessing game as much as any of us can do this. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. Wow, what a debut. He injures Seth Rollins and Seth, man. Like I said, it's not official, but he is pretty much possibly missing WrestleMania for a second year in a row, man. I feel so bad. It's like missing your birthday because something else happened, or you know what I mean. It's like you can't do it this year.
Oh yeah, it's like the year that
especially
I broke
as a wrestler.
It's like the year I broke my ankle on my birthday. You remember that?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, you know, guys, it's the road to WrestleMania. We're gonna be talking about that each and every week coming up because a lot of things are gonna change as they happen. But Cooter, joining us right now, make sure you're not hunched over because Mr. Bob Backlund is walking into the studio right now. Joining us now is a man whose career spanned over 30 years. He's a former two-time WWE World Heavyweight Champion. He's a WWE Hall of Famer and author from All-American Boy to Pro Wrestling World Champion. And now guest on Another Wrestling Podcast. Please welcome Mr. Bob Backlund. Bob, thank you so much for joining us today.
That's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah. Be on the program, yes. Yeah.
Thanks. Now, in your book, From All-American Boy to Pro Wrestling World Champion, you talk about six principles that helped you succeed. Anybody who gets this book, what's your advice to them, and what do they need to take away from it?
Well, you know what? I don't want them to just read it.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to study it because there's some things that can be learned and that could help you become very successful. When I got finished with high school, I tested these six principles in two different colleges, and I left a mark that's still there in both the colleges. And then after that, in 1973, I left home to go into the wrestling business, and I conquered the business because of the six principles. So I really believe that if somebody reads it and if somebody applies it to their lives, it would help them also.
Sure. Now, without giving too much away, can you tell them basically some of, how the principles are stacked up and maybe how you geared your life towards them?
One of them is that you have to show up on time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to be late, you might as well stay home.
I'm very punctual like that. I always like to be on time. I always like to be at least 15 minutes early to anything I'm at, too. So I can't arrive late. I hear you on that one to where... I get very impatient if I know I'm going to be late because I know I should have been there a lot earlier. But yes, that's a very good one. Yeah. Anything else you could tell the fans too about that?
Well, I learned something when in 9th and 10th grade, or 10th and 11th grade, about hard work really paying off. That was something that was one of the biggest lessons I learned is hard work pays off. Big reward, and it's a story in the book, but it made me double up on the work, and it worked It worked great. He's outworked everybody. Yeah.
Sure. Now, for all the wrestling fans out there, too, you have the foreword written by the late, great Rowdy Piper, and there's also interviews in there from Ric Flair, the Iron Sheik. What can you tell us about them and your decision to have them in the book?
Bruno Sammartino did a promo in there, and Sergeant Slaughter. It was a, they were, and I didn't really hang around with the wrestlers very much. That I wasn't into what they were into, and I thought maybe they hated me. But everybody showed pretty much a good amount of respect in the book.
Nice, that's good. I know a lot of wrestling fans out there would love to hear that, to at least hear what others had to say. So that's good. A lot of people, growing up, they probably might not know that you were also an amateur wrestler for North Dakota State University from the late 60s to early 70s. Now, not every wrestler today started off in the amateur wrestling world, but you did. And did you ever think that the amateur world would lead you to pro wrestling?
No, I never really thought about it. My mom was a great big fan of wrestling in Minneapolis or Minnesota. That was the AWA with Vern Gagne and his group of people. But I never really thought about professional wrestling till after I was out of college.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you met superstar Billy Graham, who kind of talked you to get into the business, I believe.
I was at North Dakota State University, and I was playing. I played football and I wrestled.
Mm-hmm.
We won a national championship in football. Then I won one in wrestling also in the same year. But Ron Erhard didn't have a weight room for the wrestlers, so I used to go to the YMCA in Fargo, North Dakota. And one of the times I was there was a guy working out, and I knew him because my mom watched wrestling, and we got together and we said a few words, and he asked me if I ever thought about getting into business.
Wow.
I answered no real quick. And it was very interesting because, about 5 years later, I'm standing in the middle of the ring looking across at my opponent. He's got the WWE belt around his waist, and I'm going to take it from him. It's superstar Billy Graham, the guy I met in Fargo, North Dakota.
Wow. Now, what was it like to come full circle almost, if you will, especially in front of all those people down at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, there was 27,000 people there that night, and the weird thing was, though, when I was in college, he was trying to talk me into getting into the ring, in 1978, he was trying to talk Vince McMahon Sr. out of giving me the belt, or putting the belt on me.
Wow.
But Vince was a very honorable man, and he told a superstar that he was going to take the belt from Bruno, and then I was going to get it on a certain. He even told him the date, and he kept his word, and he became like a dad to me after that. When he, because I heard that he was trying to talk him out of it too, and some other people were also, but he stuck to his guns and kept his word, and he was, like I said, he became like a dad to me. Yeah.
Sure. Now, your first reign is also the second longest reign in title history behind Bruno Sammartino's first. How does it feel to be a part of the history books forever? And did you think at that time maybe that your reign would have lasted that long?
In the wrestling business, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know how it's going to go. And usually they predict things by how many people are in the houses or in the events.
Mm-hmm.
And if it goes down, you're out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Bruno Sammartino was a great wrestler. I think he's the greatest wrestler of all times. Had the belt for 11 years. Was a great person in the ring and a great person out of the ring. It wasn't overwhelming for me to kind of take over his position because I didn't know him that well because I didn't watch WWF. I watched the AWA out in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know as much about Bruno Sammartino as I do now. And he's a great man. He's a great friend.
Sure. Now, being the world champion, that comes with a lot of stuff behind it, where, being a role model, if you will. Do you think that wrestlers take being a role model maybe for granted in sports entertainment business, especially in a world like today where everyone's actions can be seen on TV, on their phone, the internet? It's everywhere. Do you feel that maybe a lot of guys today take that for granted?
There's probably some people that do. There's a lot of people that are pretty serious about it, but and a lot of people don't want to be a role model, I always try to do the right things, and Vince McMahon Sr. wanted his champion to be a better guy outside of the ring than in the ring.
Mm.
He wanted them to be a good person, a solid person outside the business.
Also, I want to bring up one thing that's I like hearing about. At one point, fans who'd come up to you and who wanted an autograph, you'd ask them to recite all the presidents in order. Can you tell us the motivation behind that? Because I think some fans will find this very, very unique.
Well, you know what? I was out of the business. I stopped in 80, it was basically 85. And then I went back in the 90s, and I went back there to be Mom, Dad, and Apple Pie and the All-American Boy, and the people didn't care about that. And I went and asked Vince McMahon Jr. if I could be a bad guy, and he asked me why. I said, because the good guys are lying, cheating, and swearing. Let me be bad by being good.
That's great.
I had a policy where I said, I'm going to make you people responsible for your own actions.
Mm-hmm.
And I started that policy where you had to workroom, my signature, you had to be able to recite the presidents of the United States. And that was something that I thought it was good for kids because they were learning something, they were using their memory. And it was all about, further education. Yeah.
Now, also in the book, like you said earlier about the six principles, at your age now, you're 67 years young and possibly in more shape than most of the younger generations below you. How is physical fitness and education important? And why does the younger generation really just need to shape up this day and age?
Well, you know what? The American dream isn't there that much with young people. They're not thinking that way.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of thinking, let's just sit down and see what we can get from our parents or whatever. They're hanging around their house. They're not going out and trying to climb the ladder of success, I think, because people have discouraged them. But that's our jobs, to encourage them to go out and work hard and get dedicated. We live in the greatest country in the world, and there's more opportunities in the United States of America than there is any other place. And you shouldn't stay home. Get out there and work hard and be driven and take care of yourself.
A few years ago, you were inducted into the Hall of Fame. I was in the attendance there that night. Your speech, as great as it was for the live audience, it may have run a little bit long, in which Vince McMahon came out, had to jokingly look at his watch. But what was it like to be inducted that night and to give a speech in the same place where you won your first championship? And what was Vince like backstage after that happened? But it was a great time.
Well, I wasn't backstage, but I guess there was a lot of things going on backstage while I was speaking, and the crowd was reacting pretty darn well. The only thing I regret is when Vince McMahon turned around, I should have put him in the cross-faced chicken wing when he came out. the nice thing was that Donald Trump was there.
Oh, yeah.
And he came up to me after my speech and he said, if we could plug you in to New York City, you'd light it up.
Hey, maybe a future mayor.
I'm going down to see Donald Trump, try to get a hold of Donald Trump. I was in the White House last week on Wednesday, and then I went to Trump Tower on Thursday last week to try to get a message to him. I want him to plug me into the United States of America and let me go give speeches to encourage people to be successful and work hard and be dedicated and be self-driven.
I think that would be a very wise of him to do that. A very smart move, if you ask me. Definitely, you could be probably the new secretary of, just fitness and motivation, probably. Definitely a great fit. Just like Jack Lane once did, with his fitness and his workouts. I mean, I think you bring a whole new level to what he used to do. I think it'd be great to have you in the forefront of all this, especially motivational speaking to all the youngsters out there.
Well, I've been working out all my life, and I'll never stop working out. I do pull-ups in the L position.
Wow.
And but I love working out. It's done. I started working out when I was pretty young, and I just keep doing it every day. It means so much to, as far as staying healthy, if you can get a good workout in maybe 5 days a week.
I encourage everybody out there, too, if you don't have the book now, go out and pick it up, From All-American Boy to Pro Wrestling World Champion. Bob, where can they find the book today, and can they get it on your website?
You know, if they want to get it directly from me, they go on bobbacklandnow.com.
All right, great. And it's in stores, I'm sure, everywhere. Everybody can download it. So please pick it up today. Bob, any last words maybe for anybody out there who's maybe on the shelf about getting the book? Any last words you can give them about picking it up?
Well, you know what? If they go on bobbacklandnow.com, they'll get it through PayPal. PayPal will send me their information, and I'll email them myself and tell them that I'm going to mail the book today or when I'm going to mail it, and I'll sign it for them, and I'll send it to them.
Oh, wow.
And I'm almost guaranteed they're going to like the book. It's a great story. We've never had anything negative about it, and it's just a story about my life, and it's very calm. It's very relaxing to read, and I'm excited about it. I don't think anybody's ever regretted buying the book and reading it, and there's a lot of people out there studying it. There's 18 little things in the back of the book that can lead to a really happy life, along with the 6 principles that could lead to a very successful life.
Wow. Well, Bob, thank you so much for joining us today. I can't wait. Once again, everybody, please pick up this book today. It's definitely worth your time. Thanks so much, Bob.
No, thank you. It's a great pleasure. And never capitulate, young man.
Today's show is brought to you by...
This is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast in association with CelebVM. Order a personal video message from me and many other wrestlers and celebrities now. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Get a personal video message for yourself or as a gift for someone else. For personal connections, shout-outs, birthdays, proposals, weddings, and much more, enter your details about yourself so the celebrity can record a personal video message especially for you, including details such as your name, age, birthday, hobbies, or whatever else you include. As soon as the video has been recorded, you'll get an email with your link so you can share it on social media or download and keep it. Celebrities record videos as and when they can, usually within 2 weeks. But if you want a video for a specific date and it does not look like it will arrive in time, you can cancel it and get an instant refund at the click of a button. There are hundreds of celebrities to choose from and many more joining every day. Search by category or genre, buy a gift voucher, get updates and offers, and encourage your favorite celebrities to join so they can connect with fans in a fun and unique way, raise money for their charities, and much more. So order your video now for yourself or for someone else.
Celebrity Video Messages and Another Wrestling Podcast team up. Be sure to head on over to celebvm.com/AWP.
Promo of the week.
I am standing with Bob Backlund. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. Agree or disagree with his tactics. He is now 2-time WWE.
Wait a minute. First of all, young man, it's Mr. Bob Backlund. And you're incorrect. I've been the champion since 1978. I never lost the championship. Tonight, I just regained the belt. And I beat the man that represents your society. I beat him so I could save you. I'm going to scrutinize you to the fullest, pasteurize you, homogenize you, and synchronize you back into morality. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, it's sports education. I'm your champion, and I'll take on anybody at all, ladies and gentlemen, in your generation, because I'm fighting for something that's more important than anything in this world, is put morality back into your lives, and now your children have somebody that they can emulate after and try to catch up to. Because I feel like God!
All right, so Cooter, you know, thanks to Bob Backlund once again. You know, he mentioned how you have to be a champion inside the ring and outside the ring in the business. Being a role model, who have been some of the biggest role models in professional wrestling, do you think? Because I think guys like Bruno Sammartino, Bob Backlund, John Cena, to where they're the good guy in the ring, but then on the outside, they're also the good guy. You know what I mean? There's been others growing up, but I mean, do you think that's good with professional wrestling these days? I mean, guys that you can, for kids at least, too. I mean, somebody you can look up to on TV, and then when you find out who he is in real life, you know, your whole world isn't crushed because he's a scumbag selling pills on the end of the street. You know what I mean? Like, is it nice to have, like, actual true heroes today or, you know, just role models?
Of course. I mean, role models are very important. And the one that honestly sticks out to me, as much as I like to break his balls, you got to respect John Cena. I mean, the amount of make-a-wishes that he does and all the stuff that he does outside of the ring as opposed to trying to be that role model in the ring. You know, he does it on both ends. I mean, he's like the Derek Jeter of wrestling, quite honestly. You never hear a bad word about him, the way he is with kids. I mean, you know, I mean, has he buried a few people? I mean, probably. You know. Has he got a little bit of blood on his shovel? Yeah, maybe. But at the end of the day, he does right by the fans and you know, the people who support him.
Yeah, man. You know, it was interesting, too, because, like, Bruno Sammartino, he held that championship for how many years? And, you know, he kind of had to be the good guy through all that time. So just imagine the weight he had to carry around, especially because pro wrestling was totally different back then. But still, just being the champion for that long, for that consistent – that consistently long time.
How long was he champ? Wasn't it like eight and a half years?
Something like that. Yeah, I don't have the facts down in front of me, but still, I mean, even if you just say 2 years, that's a long time. Like three, four,
yeah.
Five, it's a long time.
Yeah.
And just to be this good guy. I mean, even Bob Backlund, with the funny thing too, is he mentioned it earlier to where, you know, he became the bad guy, but it was funny is that he was doing good things, but people think he was bad, you know, as the whole Mr. Bob Backlund shtick. And when people would go ask him for autographs, like he said, he would make them recite all the presidents before he would give them an autograph, to where, you know, it was like he was making them do something good to remember something for this opportunity to meet him. It wasn't like he was saying to do anything bad. He was being a bad guy, but technically his actions weren't as bad as you thought, you know what I mean? So, but how about growing up, man? Because, I mean, Hulk Hogan, Def totally started it for me. I mean, you look up to this guy who's larger than life, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, Cooter. Is it safe to say you were a Hulkamaniac too?
No, I was not. I was not drinking the Kool-Aid with the Hulkster. I mean, I was smart when I was a kid, man. I really was.
Who was it then? Who was it? Who was the role model?
Well, no. Before we even get into that, when I look at a guy like Hogan, he's the guy who could never wear a pair of white trunks because they would turn polka dot real quick. And all you gym rats out there know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about.
Polka dot.
Excuse my language. I'm sorry. Anyway, plus, I mean, that big giant bald spot. I mean, come on, man. How could you have like a mullet but just the back half?
Well, you know, he was like that cartoon character that was real life, you know. And as a kid, I don't know, he was pretty much like, you know, some people like Jesus. The kids liked Hulk Hogan. You know, you go towards that figure in life, right? I just happen to pick wrestling.
I always liked the heels. I always liked the heels.
Who was your favorite heel growing up that you idolized that made you the man who you are today, Angry Cooter?
Oh, God. Well, first, oh, God, we got to go HBK after he broke up from the Rockers.
So you're just looking to kick anybody through the barbershop window.
Yeah, I mean, there was something about that was like, all right, you know, if you want something, you got to take it and you got to show everybody that you're serious. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I always liked Savage. I loved Jake the Snake Roberts. Heel phase, though. I mean, I'm talking before he left in 92. You know, I mean,
sure, with
Cobra Jake Roberts. I mean, the stuff – he's sitting there laughing his ass off as a Cobra is like munching on Randy Savage's arm. Like, I just thought that was so cool.
Did you ever have a moment where, like, your idol – I mean, well, your role model just kind of – wasn't your role model anymore. It's almost like, for me, Hogan, he left. He went to WCW, and at the time, I didn't know what channel or where to find WCW or whatnot. I was still watching WWE, so all I knew was Hogan left or whatever. So I was like, all right, who do I fall onto? And then you pick the next champion. That's how I became a big Bret Hart fan, because he was that guy who pretty much came in when Hogan left. And, man, if you could pick anybody on the roster back then, who do you think that would step up to be the WWE champion would be Bret Hart from the Hart Foundation. It was kind of...
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, it was
either.
Like... There was never a lot thought. Of...
Because he wasn't the norm from what we were used to. I mean, you look at the guys who held the belt. You had Hogan and... Damn. You had... Before him, it was The Undertaker for a very short stint. The Warrior had it. Sergeant Slaughter had it.
It was like all these bigger guys.
Yeah,
and, you know,
it was guys who were just larger than life with these like well-known characters, very established. And then Bret was coming off that really impressive I think he had 2 IC title runs.
Yeah, and at the time, you have no idea what Hitman means. I mean, as a kid, you're like, does he have a gun too? Or, you know, like, what's his gimmick? Like, right. He's like, what does he have? Why is he called a Hitman? And it was like that cool leather jacket thing. So you kind of, you know, you started gravitating to him, and he became that kind of a role model for people to wear. He was like that rock star, the guy without a band, you know, he was dressing like everybody else was in the 90s and whatnot. So
I will say this, the 2 matches that really got Bret over to me, where I liked him, but not to the point where I thought he was like the greatest, was his match against Curt Hennig, Mr. Perfect, at SummerSlam 91. And obviously the WrestleMania 8 match against Roddy Piper for the IC belt. First person to beat Piper clean in the ring, like, ever.
Yep.
And, I mean, those were just incredible, like, feathers in the cap for Bret. And that really catapulted him. You said earlier about... people who broke your heart when they left. You want to know who honestly broke my heart when they left?
Who's that?
It was Ric Flair when he left in, was it 92 or 93?
Yeah, that was a quick stint, right? He won the Rumble, and then,
well,
I don't know.
You gotta figure he was there about 2 years, I think. It was a 2-year deal, because he came in prior to, it was a little bit after WrestleMania 7, but before SummerSlam 91, somewhere in there. And then I think he was gone after, God, I want to say it was 93. I'm not sure, but yeah, it was either a year or 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but he had great matches. I mean, we never got the Hogan Flair match, which I really could care less about, because to me, Flair versus Savage at WrestleMania 8 was incredible.
Yeah, man.
I mean, those two, of course, I mean, Flair's bleeding like a stuffed pig, as usual, but, I mean, the storyline they told prior to that and the match was unbelievable. Yeah, un-fucking real.
Now, even the women's wrestling today are role models. Like, last week, I spoke to Kelly Klein from Ring of Honor, and, you know, asked her that question about being a role model for the girls today. I mean, you know, girls growing up when we were kids, they just... 90% of the time, 99% of the time, saw guys' matches. They rarely had women's matches. But now, like, today's day and age, like, we passed the Diva era. We passed the bra and panties matches.
That's a shame.
We're into women's wrestling. But even, you know, now do you think it's nice that a lot of these young girls out there have actual women role models growing up? That at least kind of, you know, it's in the right direction, at least as far as women and women's championships. I mean, they even changed the women's championship this year to look more like the men's championship, because they're equal. You know what I mean? Do you think it's putting it on a nice little page for some of the young girls out there today?
I would say so, but I would also say that a lot of the women are so talented, and the majority of the talented ones are really great natural heels. So you look at the best people on that roster right now in Raw. You got to say Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look at the SmackDown champion. You got to say Alexa Bliss, another amazing heel. Very athletic, though. I mean, the ones that they are obviously pushing to be the heroes and the role models are obviously going to be a Bayley, a Becky Lynch. Looks like Naomi, and let us not forget Nikki Cena.
That's right.
But other than that, I mean, do you look at Sasha Banks and see role model? No, I see incredibly gifted, talented athlete. But, I mean, the way their characters are portrayed, do you still think, like, say, someone like a Nia Jax, can she still be a role model even though she's this brute heel? You understand what I'm trying to say?
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, women seeing, especially the different variety of women now, like Nia Jax, like Nikki Cross, like, you know, a lot of others that are coming up, it's definitely nice. I would have to say for the women out there, too, to where it's like, you know, I can look at, like, a Nia Jax and say, hey, if she could do it, I could do it. You know, I mean, she's a big girl, but at the same time, you got to give her credit for what she does.
Yeah, she's very talented, though. That's the thing. Yeah. I'm not taking anything away from her athletically, but, you know, in terms of looking at her as a role model, I mean, yes, absolutely. I mean, the character, no. I mean, she's the bully.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
See what I'm saying? They're making her look like the bully, but you're also saying, look, and this is no knock on her looks-wise, you don't have to be thin as a rail and the most beautiful thing to be successful in this business, because, let's be honest, she is a vicious-looking, talented woman, and I really think that she's going to get that belt one day.
Yeah, man, it definitely will happen. But how about this? A lot of role models, a lot of people that were good inside the ring and outside the ring. How about the ones who have fallen off the wagon?
Now, there's quite a few of those. Oh, yeah.
Now,
you want to talk about Hogan now or later, Greedo?
Well, you know, we can start with Hogan. I figure that's the most obvious one. You know, in this day and age, man, no matter what you say, what you do, somebody finds a way of finding it and posting it online. So with Hogan, you know,
let me say this. Okay. We're in this very liberal PC era right now in this nation. The only person who has capitalized and made more money by screwing his best friend's wife and dropping the N-bomb, he made a fortune, was Hulk Hogan. Think about that. That's the most money he's probably made in his life.
How about even going back to the steroid scandal years ago with WWE and how they all went to court, and that was a whole big thing, because at that time too, man, I was a kid. I mean, at that time, I had no idea what steroids were. I knew that they were drugs. I knew that they made your muscles larger, and that's it. You know, like, I had no idea what it was besides that. So that was a big deal too, man. It's like you're seeing your hero. Now he's caught on TV with all these drugs. And how many times can Hogan redeem himself? I mean, is he going to be brought back this year, you think? Can Hogan finally redeem himself one last time and no more scandals until he kicks the bucket?
Oh, I do not know. I really don't. Because I got to look at this situation in the era we're in right now. I mean, if you bring back Hogan, there's going to be a lot of happy people out there. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, there's going to be that other ultra angry group who will probably picket outside of whatever arena they're in with their signs, and they might burn down the Starbucks next door.
I don't think it'd be that crazy. I think wrestling fans are very quite forgiving when it comes to those kind of things. I mean, okay, it made the racist remarks, the steroids back in the 80s, the whole big scandal in the 90s.
His son. And the whole, I mean, every
his
decade.
Son killing that, or paralyzing that kid.
Right?
And then his daughter making a CD that was horrible, or trying to get into the music.
CDs that were horrible, but alas, I digress.
Well, okay, so you have that role model. He's fallen off the horse. He's gotten back on. He's fallen off. He's gotten back on. Was there anybody else besides the obvious Hogan? Was there just the guy who was maybe, you know, people looked up to in the ring, who's probably just a really, I don't know, scumbag in real life? Is there anybody we could throw under the bus to make a point here?
All right, how about Chris Benoit?
Okay, well, yeah, that's the biggest fall off. Listen,
because prior, let's be honest, prior to the horrific things that were done, and as unfortunate as they are, if you were to look at his career, had that not happened, you could potentially say he is one of the greatest of all times. Mm-hmm. But because of what happened, we can no longer say that. People can't look at him objectively. And I understand why. I mean, the guy committed horrific acts. But at the same time, I won't be one of those people who discount what he did in the ring. Now, is he a terrible person and a piece of garbage for what he did? Of course. Mm-hmm. But let's look at him as the athlete. Let's separate you know, who you are from on TV from who you actually are.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I think that even that goes into the point of China. I mean, she was an incredible athlete. You know, she had a little bit of a drug problem. She got into porn.
A little bit of a drug problem.
Well, you know, it happens. But, you know, she had a, you know, she was in the WWE, had a lot of great stuff. One of the only women to get into the Royal Rumble and so on. She had a great career, but things happen. And her being in the entertainment industry, being on TV like that, all of a sudden to get naked and do porn, it's kind of a big deal. To where, did she just throw away her whole career just for to make an extra buck, and now she's going to be forever known as a porn star or not for what
she
did before?
I don't know, Credo. Let's be honest about this one. Her career was done and over with anyway. In terms of wrestling, there was no going back. Oh. And that's not her fault. I mean, the whole that's probably the most awkward thing, where the person who's going to be running that company, which is Stephanie McMahon, basically stole your boyfriend.
Exactly. And that's you don't really get a job out of that.
And that's not her fault. There's no coming back from that. You will not be back in that company unless it's, you know, AD. You know?
Yeah.
But
the sad part,
I try
about
not to judge her for doing films like that. I mean, I try not to. I mean, I can't really watch them because,
hey,
I
mean, you make money, man. How else are you going to get easy money? But especially using your celebrity.
The only other person that I could think who I would hate on for something similar. You look at porn, it's somewhat artistic. No, I'm kidding. But I was going to make a Sonny Skype joke, but you know what? I ran out of material, you know?
Well, there you go. There's another one that got in there. It was kind of, you know, the first diva of wrestling. And then, you know, she's trying to make some money, and look what happens, man. They have nothing else. Nobody else wants to pay him for anything else except for that. So, and that's the thing, too, is, you know, the sad part about China is that she was actually trying to redeem her porn days and, you know, make a comeback and be in a more positive light. I even messaged her on Twitter to get a hold of her literally probably a month or so before she passed away. And, you know, that's it. She was turning herself around, turning her life around, trying to turn a new leaf. And shit happens, man. Anything can happen. And, you know, just when you think she was going to probably pick herself up, she, you know, was careless and had that whole little OD, if you will. But
all right, Credo, wait a minute. We talked about some of the role models. We've talked about the role models who have, you know, fallen off the wagon, so to speak. Let's talk about some of the ones that have redeemed themselves.
Sure.
How about somebody, say, like Shawn Michaels?
Sure. Yeah, man. I mean, we didn't – like, for us talking about it to where – from what we hear, how cocky he was and at that point of his life to where, you know – he's definitely – I would have never have thought he would be where he is today, the Shawn Michaels we knew of like 20 years ago, if you will. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can watch any shoot interview you want, and when they bring up his name, you know, to them, to the guys from his era in the 90s anyway, he was the biggest piece of shit ever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you talk about a guy, you know, after the back injury and the drug issues and the whole nine yards – completely turned his life around, got clean, got sober, found religion, became a good role model, became a good father, and had a second run in the WWE that was probably more impressive than his first.
Yeah, and, you know, even Jake the Snake Roberts, man.
There you go. It's going to go there, too. Yeah.
I mean, you're a role model growing up, too. You know, we all knew that he had that alcohol problem. And, you know, DDP, man, that DDP yoga, if anything, you know, just think about it. It's just yoga. But it was his yoga, you know, like his type of yoga or his, you know, attitude towards it that have saved so many, you know, it's amazing. You know, it's just enhanced the wrestling community with their injuries and problems for, you know, Jake the Snake Roberts. Hell, even Scott Hall, even though I think Scott Hall does fall off the wagon every so often still, but he gets back on, I guess. But he's definitely changed a lot in the last few years.
Yeah, he looks a lot healthier.
Yeah, so DDP's man, he's definitely the savior of a lot of these legends, and it's incredible. I mean, especially the resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts. Just watch that. You can see that, you know, the saving grace, if you will, of Jake the Snake. So,
Oh, yeah. But yeah, there you go.
I mean, we talked about it, guys. We want to hear who's your role model growing up? Maybe who's some other ones that we didn't mention who fell off the wagon? Is there anybody else out there that can redeem themselves? Let us know. AnotherWrestlingPodcast.com, Facebook.com/AnotherWrestlingPodcast, Twitter @AWrestlingPod, Instagram, Another Wrestling Podcast, YouTube, Another Wrestling Pod. Man, all these damn links. They're ingrained in me. But anyway, Cooter, man, what a hell of a week. It's only the beginning. We're still on that road. I almost forgot to mention, this week, we are now a 3-time WRA award-winning show. The Wrestling Radio Awards.com happened this week. We won Best Booked Show. What an honor to have each... And every one of these guests each week to have the incredible show that we do, Best Book Show, now a 3-time WRA award-winning show. Cooter, what do you think, man?
I think that's awesome, man. I really want to thank everybody. And it's nice to be part of the show that is now a 3-time award-winning show. My mom saw the video of us, accepting the award and talking about our show a little bit. She's asking me what the award looks like, and I don't think she understands. It's not like we get on a podium and actually accept an award. She's like, but I want to see you with an Emmy. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Oh, but you know what? Maybe one of these days I'll actually be able to interview somebody, Credo. Maybe.
Maybe. One day. Stay tuned. Maybe next week. Stay tuned.
So where's the actual award?
Come on, there's no award. It's just for bragging rights.
I want to walk the red carpet. I want a fucking Emmy.
Oh, my God.